Welcome to another edition of the Basketball Teacher Podcast. Our mission is to bring you discussions on a wide array of topics in the coaching world to grow players on and off the court. You can connect with us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and also reach us directly through email at basketballteacherpodcast@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Coach Mike Hernandez.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you guys so much for joining us here for another episode. Wherever in the world you're listening to us from, whatever platform you're listening to us on, as always, your support is greatly appreciated, and thank you for tuning into this episode. I think you're really going to like this one. Our topic today is going to be about getting your team to play together as a unit. We all have teams that maybe have great individual components, but maybe sometimes struggle to come together and play as one. Sometimes we have players that are really bought in and maybe some that aren't, and every team has its own unique structure. And hopefully a lot of you listening have had teams that have played together as a unit and have had a lot of success that way as well. But if you are in a situation where you're working on some ways to get your team to play together as a unit, then this episode is definitely going to be for you. We'll talk about some tips and tricks and some barriers that you can overcome and give you some strategies that will help bring your team together for the not only this upcoming season, but hopefully for the long haul as well. My guest to help discuss this topic is the Willows Academy head basketball coach. Very happy to be joined by Coach Jody Marver. Coach, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing quite well, and I really enjoy these episodes where we kind of talk about, you know, team building, culture, all the good stuff about building a cohesive team. So this is going to be fun for me as well. Coach, I know that you have a bit of a long playing journey. I know you played for a long time, but where has the game taken you in a playing sense as well as the coaching sense? What's your journey been that got you to Willows Academy?
Yeah, so I started off my basketball career in high school. I grew up in Northbrook, Illinois, played at Glenbrook North High School, and had a great career there. I was lucky enough from there to play Division III basketball, where I played at Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois. And I had a great career there, had awesome teammates. I became the third highest scorer in school history, so that was pretty cool. And after that, really decided that coaching was the path for me. So right after college, I got a job coaching at Niles North High School, which is in Skokie, close to where I grew up. And I was the assistant varsity and head JV coach there. And then the last 4 years, I've been the head varsity coach at Willows Academy, which is in Des Plaines. And I also teach physical education there, which is great. I love the combination of both teaching and coaching in the building and really getting to know the girls. And then during the summers, I also coach a 16U junior Olympic basketball team. So that's some fun stuff. But I really am happy where I ended up at Willows Academy. We're a very small 1A school, all girls. Mm-hmm. And after playing in a very large setting like Glenbrook North, which is 4A, I really have seen so many of the benefits of a small school. So it's been a lot of fun, a long journey, but happy where I ended up.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And it's always fun for me personally to hear people from Illinois, as somebody who grew up there, for you to list off these locations and places and be like, oh yeah, I know where these places are. I can visualize where some of these locations are. So that's awesome. And plus the transition, like you said, from where you played to being at a smaller school. I think you said it was a 1A school now. Yeah, that's quite the difference. But as you mentioned, there are a lot of advantages to that as well. As you mentioned, you did play at Knox College. Shout out to Galesburg out there. And I know that a lot of former collegiate players who are still looking to be involved in the game, a lot of them may potentially look to get into coaching like you did. But as I'm sure you can speak to, that's not always necessarily the easiest transition to go from the playing side of things to the coaching side of things. So I wanted to ask you, what advice would you give to a former player who may be looking to start stepping into a coaching role at maybe the high school level, kind of like you did?
I think my biggest piece of advice is learning as much as you can from behind the scenes. One thing as a player is you never really see all the things the coaches are doing when they're not with you. And I think I learned most about that by being an assistant coach my first year. So I was an assistant coach and I was head JV at Niles North, and I had a really great mentor, Dan Paxton, and he really believed in me and really taught me a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, like how to scout, I had no idea about that. Communicating with parents, scheduling, different offense and defense strategies. These are things as a player that you don't really see all these things happening from behind the scenes. And coming into a coaching role, I think it's really important to know those things. And those are areas that I really had to understand before being able to be a head varsity coach myself. And so I think really taking the first 2 years of my coaching career, sitting back and observing was super helpful for me coming into that role. Because like I said, as a player, you don't really see all those things or really even know what the coaches are doing behind the scenes.
Yeah, I feel like, as you kind of mentioned, when you kind of make that transition, you sort of realize a lot of the stuff that sometimes isn't even like basketball related, all the other stuff that goes into it. Like you did mention some of the basketball things like with scouting and game planning, but you mentioned like things of like parents and all these other things that it's like, oh, I can't just focus on basketball. There's all this other stuff that's going on too to actually lead a program for sure. And I completely agree with you. I think that if you can get like that assistant type position first or whatever that sort of role is, because then you see things in a completely different light, then you kind of make that transition like you talked about into leading the show, so to speak. And I think that's some great experience that you got along the way for sure. Awesome. So like I said, our topic today, getting your team to play together as a unit. And I know this is something that you're personally passionate about. So I wanted to talk about your journey of bringing your team together. What did you do and your staff do, or what did you feel like you had to do to kind of take it from maybe necessarily individuals and kind of bring them together almost as one unit?
Yeah. So I think that to talk about this, I kind of want to talk about my whole journey of the Willows Academy.
Let's do it.
When I first got to Willows, the athletic director there named Paul Channon that I met through the other team that I coached reached out to me and was explaining to me about this opportunity and that the basketball program was really in need of a boost. They only had 8 girls in the high school roster, which is very low even for a 1A school. And like wins and losses wise, they were struggling a bit. So coming into that, that kind of mirrored my situation that I had going to Knox College, where when I got there, wins and losses weren't too great and the morale of the team wasn't awesome, but through the class I had, we grew that. And so because I was so passionate about that process, I really felt like I could bring that to Willows. So coming into my first season, I really knew that culture was going to be a big thing that I needed to work on with the girls, because if we have no culture, then it doesn't matter what I draw up X and O's wise. It doesn't matter what offense and defense I do. If they're not playing together as a unit and really understanding what makes a good culture, then none of that stuff matters. So I really came in and explained to the girls what a good culture means, meaning like we are committed to this team, showing up to things, making sure we communicate. We talked a lot about the natural consequences of what happens when you miss practice or a game or are late. Like, I actually sat the girls down and was like, okay, if this happens, this happens. Like, really, I think explicitly explaining to them, you know, why these natural consequences happen is really big as a new coach coming in. And then from there, I talked a lot about, honestly, like team bonding and really getting to know each other on and off the court as a team. I had really good captains. Every year, I've had really good captains. But my first year, I had exceptionally good captains who really bought into the idea of a good culture. So not only was I preaching these things, but now my captains were preaching to the team too. It was very top-down mentality. It's one thing if a coach is telling you something, but it's another thing if players on the team are telling you something.
Sure.
And so I think that was a very key component of how this team really started to change. And as I saw them, you know, understanding commitment, communication, really growing together as a team, they really got to know each other. And my first year that I coached there, I wasn't teaching in building. I was teaching in a different building. And so, but every time I came, I saw more and more of the girls hanging out before practice. I saw more and more of them, you know, really getting to know each other and just like supporting each other. And I think that that really pushed the idea of that family culture. So first it was a lot of me pushing and the captains, but I really saw later it became natural for the girls. And then I definitely saw this translate on the court. They really worked so well together. And I think that they really were intertwining each other's strengths and just supporting each other. And that positive culture that I was really pushing at the beginning, they really took to their own. And I think the thing that I mostly push with this culture is that, you know, everything is like team first. And so really the girls, you know, at a 1A school, not all of them are these superstar you know, players that are scoring 20 points a game, there's a lot of different strengths that they can bring to a team. And so it wasn't any more like, you know, maybe a girl who didn't feel like she had a role anymore. Maybe she was doing something great defensively. Like, if you see one of our games and you see one of my players take a charge, you would think we won the national championship because we get so excited when someone takes a charge. And so maybe these girls who basketball isn't really their main sport, like that is something that they can bring to the team. And even some of the girls who don't really get much playing time, were cheering psychotically, like every game. It was just, they were so happy for each other and it was more than themselves and it was about the team. And that just was so fun to be a part of. And by the end of my first season, we actually flipped our record from the season before. So they only won 8 games the season before I got there. And the year I was there, we were 21-8 and it was the same exact roster. So that's where I really feel like culture is such a big thing because these girls always had this potential just really needed to be tapped into. So that was something that was really fun. And since then, I feel like we've been able to really maintain the culture. And I'll talk a little bit about later about some barriers that come with every year. But that was definitely something that showed me as a coach is how much culture can make a difference.
For you personally, in terms of your mindset as a coach when you first got there, as somebody who, you know, you played at the collegiate level, you have to have a certain level of, you know, competitiveness and dedication and determination to the sport in order to get to that level. For you personally, coming into an environment where maybe that expectation had never been set or players didn't really understand like what it even meant to even compete at a high school level, for you personally as a coach, was that an adjustment period that you had to go through as well?
It was definitely a huge adjustment period. I think that just like, you know, you explained, the culture of the places that I played at was very set as soon as I got there. And it was like, you knew the commitment level. And if you didn't live up to that, you were just cut from the team. And that was just how it went. And I think just, you know, at the 1A level, it's a lot different. And by, you know, school's a lot different. So the adjustment was huge. I was actually pretty like shell-shocked when I got there. But the thing is I feel like as soon as the girls really knew what the expectation was, they rose to the occasion. It wasn't like, you know, they didn't want to do it. I just think that they were never really explicitly taught, like, this is what it means to be committed to a program like this. Like, this is the benefits of being part of a program like this. Like, these are life skills that you're not only learning about basketball, that you can bring, you know, further in your life. And I think that was the biggest thing is that we're going to be good basketball players. So these are also skills for life. We're going to be like good people. And these are skills that you need for life. And I think that that's something once they were really explicitly taught that, then they rose to the occasion. And it's just like anything in education, like unless you explicitly teach kids stuff, you can't expect them. No.
Yeah, absolutely.
And granted, you know, everyone's home background is different. So I definitely had some players that really knew this expectation coming in. But I think that was really when the big turnaround came with the commitment was when I explicitly taught the girls this stuff. And, you know, since then, we've had no issues. And even today, you know, as my fourth year coaching there and I had my first basketball meeting of the season, I say it every year. I said, okay, here is the tentative schedule. If it looks like there's too much commitment for you, like in the nicest way, do not play. Like, because I only want people here that want to be here. And so I think that the girls all know that. And now, you know, it's really become a part of the culture.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, what you just said about, you know, this is what needs to happen. And if it isn't work for you, then it is what it is. But those of you who are going to do it, then you're going to do it. And we're going to go from there sort of thing. Like there's nothing wrong with having that conversation.
Exactly.
So I'm curious now, as you kind of talked about the cultural piece and getting the buy-in and building the relationships and being really positive, how did that sort of translate into, okay, now we got to start coming together in the basketball sense? So as you started to work through those, you know, those first few practices of setting the foundation of, you know, here's what we got to do on the court, what was that process like of getting the team to come together on the court basketball-wise?
Right. And I think that's a really good point of how it translated onto the court. So I think that honestly, it was pretty seamless once the girls were really like getting to know each other and a family off the court. On the court, I think it really translated well. Like I said, it was the fact that like every girl knew their role on the court and they didn't care what their role is. And it was all part of what they could do to benefit the team. In our practices, because of that, we're very energetic and very competitive. which I really love. And that changed a lot. You know, the girls are constantly talking and they knew that was an expectation. The girls are constantly competing with each other. And maybe a girl that knew she doesn't get that much playing time, maybe she's a freshman or something like that, she is giving it her all in practice because she knows she's pushing for other teammates to be better. It was just such a selfless group of girls, and still is such a selfless group of girls, that you know, culture continued on the court. And I think that was really important, because no matter what offense or defense I threw at them, they knew what their role was and they were very excited to do that role. I think that they're sometimes with, especially high schoolers, they all want to be the superstar. They all want to be the one to score and have their name in the paper and all that. But I'm telling you, like, these group of girls did not care. They didn't care who scored. They just wanted us as a team to improve, and they truly cared about it. And I think that's where it translated on the court. So that was fun to see, because, you know, there were some players on our team who may have not had the biggest basketball background, but now we're playing a huge role because they knew what they were good at and could do it. Boxing out, like taking a charge, hustling. Those are things you need zero basketball skill for. That is all hard. And so some of these girls were coming in and now getting more playing time and playing a big role because they were showing those pieces of the culture that we really were like prevalent on. I would say the biggest thing that we talked a lot about actually was taking charges. Like, that was something that we focused a lot on.
Yeah, it brings a lot of energy.
It brings a lot of energy, and it's a very selfless act, and it's a lot of discipline. And I think we practiced that a lot. And so there were some girls that maybe didn't get a lot of playing time on the basketball court in the past. Now we're playing a lot because they were taking charges and hustling and doing all these things. So I think that that's where that culture piece came onto the court, because the girls are just so excited to work together.
So from what I'm gathering, and certainly correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the things I feel like you did as you kind of got into the program and started working with the girls is you did not necessarily expect every girl to be proficient, there's a teaching term, proficient at like every single skill. That there wasn't that expectation necessarily that they had to be at a certain level at like everything, and that it was more so like, here's what I know you're capable of, and here's maybe like your strengths, and let's focus on kind of maximizing what you can do versus, you know, trying to get every player up to a certain level on everything. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, overall, I was trying to improve their skills all around. But at the same time, as a coach, you're trying to find the strengths in your players. And every year that changes. And when you find the strengths in your players and you can display that, that is maximizing what you have. And I feel like every year as a coach, I want to take what I have and maximize it. And so although I'm working on their skills and wanting them to become more proficient, I'm also taking what I know these girls can be good at and displaying that so that we can be as successful as possible. So I think that that's kind of where that came from, is, okay, I know that this girl, you know, strengths is different than this girl. So how can I highlight these things? Like, how can I take basically what I have and get as much out of it?
Well, that's a big, like, shift in thinking that sometimes that I know as a coach that I sometimes have to consciously do, is I feel like there's a tendency to almost focus on what you don't have, focus on what players can't do, and get like caught up on all like the, like, oh man, they can't dribble effectively on their offhand, or, you know, their shooting is sporadic or inconsistent, and you start getting into all of that. And if you don't really focus on what they can do, then as a coach, you can almost bring like kind of like this negative type vibe, because now you're just feeling like you got to focus on all these areas of weakness rather than maximizing strengths. And if you do that, I feel like that's an easy way to kind of lose your team morale, and as opposed to focusing on what they can do.
Exactly. And I think that there's a balance too. Like, obviously the things that we can't do, we're going to work on, but at the same time, the things that we can do, we're going to highlight. And I think also playing into that is that gives my team confidence. And that's a big thing with the culture too, is if the girls know that I believe in them, they're more likely to be able to believe in themselves. And so if I'm here putting them in a situation that they're going to fail at, you know, maybe a girl who's not even a basketball player, she's a soccer player, but she's playing basketball for fun, I'm not going to put her in a position of a skill that she doesn't have, but maybe she's really good at defense and she's really good at this, at man-to-man defense, because, you know, that's a skill. Then I'm going to plug that into making sure I can put her in the best spot to be successful. So I think that that's part of it too is that, you know, them knowing that I have confidence in them to achieve certain things.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you've mentioned about, like, you know, if there's players who, you know, basketball is their secondary thing, or it's, you know, it's just something that they do for fun, like you said, well, their level of how much they're going to improve or maybe even like commit to it maybe a little bit different. Obviously they'll commit and they'll try their hardest, but they might not be the player getting up, you know, hundreds of shots every day. They might have other things that they're going to be focusing on, and you'll have to maximize, you know, what it is that they can do and what they're willing to do. And like you mentioned of charges, I think you mentioned like that doesn't necessarily take a lot of basketball skill necessarily. That's more of a willing to put yourself out there sort of thing. And he said, if what it also does, as you mentioned, is that's a real good way to bring your team together, because you said they jump around like it's a national championship victory. And that's a great sign that your team is together when they get excited about something like that.
Exactly. And so I think that that was part of the culture thing is we, you know, obviously I, you know, want the girls to be scoring a lot of points, be making great passes, be doing all those things. But that's only part of it. That's not the only thing that I am focusing on, you know. The kids that are out there taking charges and doing hustle plays and boxing out and things that take zero basketball skills, I am praising that just as much as my players who are, you know, scoring 20 points a game, because it is just as important in winning games, both of those players.
Yeah, 100%. You definitely need both. Now, from the stories of what you've been able to do with your program, some might be listening to that and be like, man, coach never had any issues, never problems. Everything was perfect from day one. But obviously as coaches, we know that's not necessarily the case. And there are some barriers that coaches might face when trying to build unity, or there might be some little roadblocks or stumbling blocks along the way. So when it comes to building that team unity, obviously adversity is going to come into play here and there, or there might be a little test here and there. So what are some barriers that you think coaches might need to be ready to face when it comes to building that team unity? And what are some ways that you would recommend that they kind of overcome some of those challenges if they find themselves facing them?
Yeah, well, I think you make a really good point, because I definitely, not things have been far from perfect. I'm a very young coach, and I'm still learning a lot, you know, only in my fourth year as a head coach. There's definitely still a lot to learn. And so with every year, there's probably going to be more barriers and more things that I'm learning. But as far as what I've, you know, come with so far, I think the biggest thing that I've learned when it comes to barriers as a coach is my ability as a coach to adapt. When it comes to like building unity, change comes with every year. With every year, there can be a totally different mix of players on the roster. So doing the same things you did in the past might not work. And this happened to me exactly. So, you know, I talked about my first year, that turnaround, how great that was, you know. So as a coach, I'm like, okay, it's my second year. We're going to do the exact same thing, and it's going to be the exact same result. Well, that's not exactly what happened. you know, we had new captains. We had a lot of young players coming in, different group of girls. And so, you know, doing the exact same thing didn't work. And I think as a coach, I was faced with, okay, do I keep drilling this in? And, you know, hoping that the girls eventually come around to it, or do I adapt? And so at that point, I decided to change things up. And so when it came to culture, I really had to find things that worked with this group, especially with the new group of captains. And then I completely changed my offense and defense too within the first few games. And we ended up turning that year around. And it was awesome, because the teams that we were losing to at the beginning of the year by like 20, we were beating by like 20 at the end of the year. So it kind of shows how as a team to adapt together. And I remember even during that second year sitting down with the team, and we talked about that. We're like, okay, at this point we have a choice. We can go down the same path, or we can, you know, come together as a team and adjust and work hard to move forward together. Because it's one thing to create a culture, but it's another thing to actually maintain it. And so I think that, you know, our ability as a team to figure out what worked for us really was great. And just like sitting down and figuring it out together. And so during that second year, I think playing into the strengths of my new team, both on the court strategy wise and off the court with just their dynamic, that was able to really help us moving forward. And, you know, I think I was even more proud of the second year with that turnaround than even the first year, because everything was great the first year and there wasn't many things to overcome. But my second year, when the culture wasn't that great and we were losing and the morale was down, I think I was really proud of how the girls came together and turned it around, and they could have easily just given up.
Yeah, and that speaks a lot to kind of really building that culture in the beginning and really kind of establishing a lot, like in the beginning, in the preseason or in the off season, because then you have something to go back on, something that you can fall back on and rely on when things like do get difficult. And it sounds like that was kind of the situation that you had, where because of, you know, you're building a culture and having the players, you know, trust you and then trust each other, were able to kind of have that like serious conversation, like you said, about, you know, which way is this season going to go and where do we go from here, and, you know, be able to actually right the ship. Whereas if they weren't having those conversations or that hadn't been established, things probably could have gotten ugly pretty quick.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And I'll just ask for you as a coach, as somebody who's, you know, again, playing at a high level, I know there's a certain level of competitiveness that comes into that. How did you yourself sort of make sure that you maintained like your level of, you know, keeping things together and making sure that you yourself didn't find yourself getting into a negative headspace as, you know, things were starting to get like a little rocky and a little difficult?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think that's definitely tough at times. You know, it's like you said earlier, it's easy as a coach to harp on the things that you don't have. And I think once I finally hit that point in my career where I was like, okay, you know, things went really well my first year, and now I'm having some issues. And I think just as a coach, just like as I instill that confidence, you know, in the girls, I feel like I am confident in myself, and my athletic director was confident in me, and that was really helpful. And I think the thing is, as I just believe so much in these girls, they are such good kids and they work so hard and would literally run through a wall for me. And so I just knew what potential was there, and I wasn't willing to give up on that. And, you know, just as hard as they work for me, I'm equally going to work as hard for them. So I think once those negative mindsets came in, at the same time, I was like, okay, this is where we're at right now. And like I said to the girls, I said to myself, I'm like, I could either have a negative mindset and say, okay, this is how the season's going to go. We're not that great, too bad. Or I can adjust. And that's exactly what I did. I like sat down and figured out a new offense and defense. I figured out how to, you know, take the strengths of what I had and move forward. And if I did all that and it still didn't work, you know, then I gave it my all, but I wasn't willing to just settle for that. And if I'm going to be a good role model for these girls, I have to also practice what I preach. If I'm preaching, you know, to stay together during hard times, I got to share that myself.
And so with what you just said, because I thought that was just like a really interesting point that you brought up about making changes to your offense and to your defense, I feel like doing something like that takes a lot of trust from your team and a lot of trust in general that, you know, saying, well, you know, we got to fundamentally, you know, change the way that like things are going because things aren't the way that we want them to be. Was that transition for you kind of changing up what you were doing on offense and defense? Was there bumps on the way with that? Were there players that had to kind of get different roles or maybe their responsibilities changed based on how you made your changes? Or in general, what was that experience like kind of transitioning? Like, all right, we did this, but now we got to do this. And this is what this new offense or defense is going to look like.
Yeah, there are definitely some bumps with that, you know, changing roles and the girls adapting. But at the same time, I think the girls appreciated with like how open I was saying, okay, I realize this isn't working. I'm asking you guys to change and adapt. So I'm also going to be doing it myself. You know, if I'm asking you guys to, you know, do better in the culture, come together more, you know, and all these things, like I need to be able to do the same thing too. So I think they actually really bought in quickly because they knew that we weren't at the place that we wanted to be. And so they were willing to make these changes. And one of the things, again, that I love about these girls is they really believe in me just as much as I believe in them. So anything I say, like I said, the girls would run through a brick wall for me. It's like they really trust in the things that I say. And of course, here and there, you know, they're high schoolers. I'm sure they're not too happy with the playing time they get sometimes or some of the plays I call or things like that. But I think at the root of it, they really do believe and trust in me. And I see that consistently. And I think, again, that's the culture piece, the relationship piece that I believe and trust in them. And I think that's reciprocated because we see how much I do that. So although there definitely were some bumps in that transition, I think at the same time that they really trusted me as well, which is so helpful to have. I think that is something that's very special about my group of girls.
Yeah. And to be able to have that, I mean, that involves like as we just kind of touched on, maybe some tough changes or change in roles or changes of the way things are done. But I what that kind of goes back to, though, is if everybody kind of has like the mentality of, you know, kind of all being in this together and wanting to succeed as a team or as a unit, then if you kind of frame the conversation away of like, hey, this is what we need to do to benefit like everybody. If that culture has already been established, then I feel like that in your case and for a lot of coaches would make that transition if you had to switch things or change things up a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely. For and sure. I think that is the great piece of the reciprocation is the trust that I have with my players is awesome.
You've mentioned a couple different moments in particular, but I wanted to make sure that we highlighted any others that we didn't get to. In this journey of getting a team to come together and playing together as a unit, were there any other moments in particular that kind of stood out to you as like these like flashpoints of like, oh, I can like tangibly see that my team is growing right now, or any of those moments you saw where you could like almost physically see that your team was coming together along this journey?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think one of my favorite moments ever as a coach, I talked about my second year of coaching when we had the struggle at the beginning of the year and turned it around. Well, our first game of the season, we played a team called Harvard, not the college, a high school, Harvard High School.
Yep.
And we lost them by around 30 points, I would say. And our team culture was definitely not where anyone wanted it to be. And I remember it being a very frustrating game. And about a month or two later, we played them again in the Christmas tournament. And we won by 8 points. So that was a 38-point turnaround. And I think that in that game, I could really see the team coming together, those little pieces of our offense and defense coming together, the culture coming together. And not only was I seeing it, but the girls were physically seeing. We lost this team by 30 points just like a month or two ago. And we just beat them by 8 points. And so that really showed them how much culture and team unity can translate into great results. And the fact that they were able to make those changes and make those adjustments in that short amount of time gave them a lot of confidence in themselves. And I think that's where the swing in our season really came. And that was such a growing point of them coming together and just being so happy and excited and proud of themselves.
Yeah, it's always nice when you can have any of those opportunities where it's like, all right, we're going to have another opportunity at this, right? Or we're going to have like another crack at this and give an opportunity to kind of like turn things around for sure. I always like those situations where we played a game and we lost to a team, but we knew we got to see them again and just like tangibly see improvement. I was like, perfect. That's exactly what we needed
really
for sure to be able to make that happen. You talked about some things on the court and how you kind of mentioned how you thought that, like, you know, now that the team was together, we were able to, you know, kind of do whatever offensively and defensively. And you even kind of mentioned how you're able to make some transition and switch things up if you needed to. Are there things in particular that you really feel like in terms of an X's and O's schematic thing on the court that really, really stand out because you know your team is playing together as one? Are there certain things that are just running that much better? I know everything runs better, but are there certain things you like that you run that just run maybe as efficiently as they possibly can just because you know that your team is playing together as one?
Yeah, definitely. I think when it comes to every year I've had like drastically different teams basically. And so my offense and defense every year has changed. And I, like, you know, I spoke about earlier, I adapt to whatever players I have that year. But the main goals that we have stay consistent year to year. And I think, you know, as I talked about before with the defense, I feel like when we are playing as a unit, our defense is great. And every year it's been different. Some years we've played man-to-man, some years we've played zone. Some years we've played, you know, box and one, and it doesn't matter what I throw at the girls. I think that they're just so excited to play their role of, you know, the things we love, like taking a charge, diving for a loose ball, boxing out. Those things are such selfless acts that when you have kids very excited to do those things, that really shows unity in them playing as one. Because this kid is so excited to just get out there and box out every single time. And I can specifically remember there is a team in our conference that has a girl who is probably the tallest high school girl I've ever seen. And there was one girl on my team who I was like, your job is to box throughout the entire game. And she did it. And she was so happy and so excited. And the fact that she was so happy to box out the whole game, I mean, I think that just shows the unity is kind of like I touched on earlier, is like the girls are excited to whatever role that they are, because they know it's for the greater good of the team. And that's where the unity comes into play. But I do think that when you have unity as a team, it doesn't really matter what offense and defense that you do. And I think that's what's really great. I think it would be much harder if I didn't have unity for me every year to switch on my offense and defense based off of the types of kids that I have. And so I think that that's something that's super important when it comes to the X's and O's. Is on top of that, like, you know, is your team playing together? Because then I'm able to adapt those more to what I have.
Well, that was something that I hadn't really even considered, but now you kind of brought it up, that if you do need to, you know, make these changes kind of year for year, year to year, that, you know, especially for your upperclassmen who maybe found like really a lot of success in a particular situation, and now they have to adapt, where, like you said, if they're going to go box and one, it's like, all right, now we're doing man to man, or now we're doing something like this differently, that you already kind of set that expectation and the players are together and they're unified, and they know, probably, I would assume that you're, you know, juniors, as they go into senior year, they kind of already know that, all right, this is a new year. So I already know going into it that what we might do is going to be different, and like, I'm okay with it. And I feel like that seems to be something that, that you've been able to establish.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I also really, as a coach, would love to keep the same thing every year, but I think, yep. I think that's just not plausible, like, depending on what school you're at. And so I think that's, again, one of the both like ups and downs of a 1A school, is that every year I could be getting a totally different team. You know, you have maybe a few scorers one year and they all graduate, and all of a sudden you have no one who can score the basketball. Like, what are you going to do? Or you have some post players and all of a sudden the next year you have only guards because they all graduated. You know, it's mm-hmm. like every year you get something totally different. I would love, you know, I'm a coach who loves, I would love to do pack line man-to-man defense. I would love to press. I would love to do a five out offense. Those are the things I love. But if I do that and I don't have, and it's not going to be what is best for my team, then, you know, I don't feel like I'm being the best coach for them, because I'm just thinking what I do is best, but it might not highlight their strengths. So I feel like that's kind of where that comes into play, because, like I said, my first year, we did all those things. We did man-to-man, we pressed, we did five out, four out, one in stuff. And I tried that again the next year, and it didn't work with that group of girls. And so that's where that adjustment comes. And so now I have that mindset of, okay, I might be changing things year to year. I might keep it the same, but I think regardless, kind of, as you said, the girls believe in like whatever I'm doing, that it could be the same, it could be different, but whatever I throw at them, they really trust me. And I think that that's important.
And as we just kind of talked about earlier, just the concept of just maximizing player strengths and knowing that whatever it is that you're going to change, it's not just because you're changing it for the sake of changing it, but you know, like, hey, we got to make this change because this is who we got this year. And in order for us to, you know, be in the best position to be successful, here's what has to happen. And I feel like your players know, all right, I know that coach is doing this because this is what we need in order to be successful. So let's go and do the best we can at it.
Exactly. And I think that's where that trust and that relationship comes into play. And, you know, something that I didn't really touch on earlier is mm-hmm. just as much as I asked the girls to really, you know, get to know each other and stuff, like, I really am the type of coach who focuses a lot on building relationships with my players, really caring about them on and off the court and getting to know them. And so that's where that trust comes from, is especially since I teach in the building, like, I ask the girls about how things are going, like, within their lives, and, you know, helping them with things and showing them I care about them. Like, it's bigger than basketball. And I think that that's where it comes into play, the trust that comes on the court, not only within each other, but also, like, from the coach's aspect too.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with you on that. Now, I don't want you for this question. I don't want you to you know, talk badly about anyone here, but we can speak in general terms. But when you're thinking of, like, let's say when you're coaching and you see your opponent, or you see things and you can see another team and you can identify, like, okay, I can tell that this team isn't playing together. I can tell just by looking from mm-hmm. afar that this team is not a unit. What are some things that you just kind of see as an outsider when you maybe go against other teams, or you just see or hear about other teams, that indicate to you, like, oh, I can tell that, you know, for whatever reason, that this team isn't quite all together yet? What is, like, the kind of the opposite almost, or the non-examples sort of look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've definitely played against a good amount of teams like this. And there's definitely, you know, and as a coach, and even my players will see it too, that if we know this another team they're playing has really bad culture, it's very easy for us. We know, we're like, okay, we're gonna do our best and like play together, and this is actually gonna make them more upset because of how much we play together. But things that I see are, the first thing I see is there's no like cheering for each other, you know, where is no like on the bench them cheering each other on, like talking, communication. There's none of that. And that's the opposite of my bench. My bench is going crazy. They're really excited for each other. They're cheering each other on. There are girls that may never play all season, but they show up every single game and are cheering each other on. Like, that is so selfless, and that shows, you know, unity as a team. Where if we play a team and it's just dead silent, that's already an indicator to me that there's not good team culture, team unity. And even more so, I played against teams where I see the girls actually arguing with each other on the court, like about, you know, passing the ball or running a play correctly or something. And if they're getting frustrated with each other, you know, if that happens maybe once or twice, like, okay, but if that's happening throughout the game, not great team culture. And I think also I can see it through the coach too. How much do the players respect the coach? How is the coach, you know, respecting the players? I'm sure that in your coaching career too, you've seen coaches where the players could look like they care less what that coach is saying and not listening at all. And that to me shows that there's no team unity there. And so I think that those are just big indicators to me of teams that the culture isn't good. And honestly, we've played against teams that I would say are significantly more talented than us, but we have beat them just because they have had no culture, no team unity, and we do. And so I think that that is a really important piece. It's, you know, you can have talent, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't take what you have and really make it into a team culture, it goes to waste.
And just kind of going along with that, I think that it becomes very obvious, like very quickly, the teams that don't have that culture. And then once a coach knows that, they're never going to forget that. And they're going to game plan, at least I know I have before, like game plan specifically to put that other team in a situation just to frustrate them, like right away. Yep. Like, if I can get you like frustrated, whether it's by pressing or just by being physical or whatever the case may be, if I already know that, okay, this team doesn't play together, they're not unified, if I can just get you off kilter in like the first minute, it's like, well, in a way, it's like, I already know I've won, because it didn't take too long to break that sort of thing. And I think that just kind of adding on to what you said, and you can certainly speak to this too, there's no way, at least in my experience, there's really no way to hide that if your team doesn't have that unity. Like, it's going to get exposed really quickly, and it's going to get kind of exploited very quickly. And I feel like you kind of have that same sense as well.
No, I definitely agree. I think that it's very obvious within even like the first few minutes of a game, I can tell like what the culture of the other team is like. And just as you said, that, you know, if there is no culture on the other team, they're not playing as a team, we can game plan to frustrate that even more. And so I think that, you know, it is very obvious. And I think that a team can only go so far without a culture. Like, yes, you could have a team of all starting five players that are going to go Division One or something like that, but you cannot maximize your talent unless you have them playing as a team. And so I think that is something that is super important for any coaches out there to try to implement a good culture on your team, no matter what talent you have.
For sure. I wanted to ask about keeping that unity and keeping that team together during the off season or during the summer or during the preseason. Is there anything in particular that you do to kind of keep everybody sort of together, even when it's not, you know, officially basketball season, even though as a coach, it's always basketball season, but you know what I mean? When it's the off season or the summer, that keeps the team together and keeps them still unified.
No, definitely. And that's another thing that has really grown that I'm so happy about in my Willows program is the summer program. So there wasn't really a summer program at all when I got there. There was maybe a camp, but I think that's it. And since I've been there, we've now grown it from like just a camp. We now play in summer leagues. We're now playing in summer tournaments. These girls are showing up to stuff. And, you know, even this year, we've had the most amount of girls ever play. You know, as I said, 4 years ago when I came, there was 8 girls in the whole program. This year we have 30. And so I think just that interest level is huge. And it's not only that interest level during season, but they're coming to all the summer stuff. And that was something that was super exciting. And the great thing about that is these incoming freshmen coming in are meeting the teammates before the school year even starts. And, you know, they're doing bonding and we're going away on trips and doing these tournaments. And these are the things that are fun for the girls and memories that they're going to make. And when they're doing these things and really getting to know each other and bonding, like, that already puts them ahead culture-wise, but also at the same time, they're playing together over the summer. I think that's been a significant piece to our growth as a team, is that we've had this time over the summer now. This past year, you know, we had our two-week camp. We played in two leagues. We played in multiple tournaments. And even though, you know, we've played against some huge public schools that we'll probably never play that have had a lot of talent, I think it was so good for us to have that time to work together. And I think that's a huge advantage. And it's just been so exciting for me to see the commitment level and the interest level really go up with this program. And I think that's what I'm most proud of, is just how many of the girls want to play and how many of the girls want to be there in the off season. And so that's been something that's been awesome for us, is how much that has grown throughout the years.
Well, that's actually something that I think is really like underrated or understated, especially if you're at a coach or you're coaching at, whether it's like a really small school or maybe just a school that is kind of just getting off the ground, is, at least I found in my experience, and it sounds like from what you said, you had the same thing, like having your players and your teams go and like just play different teams or go to places that they maybe normally haven't been to play, like to that, it's to some of them, it's like the coolest thing in the world and like brings them together, even though to you, it's just like, oh, this is just another high school. But to them, it's like, oh, it's a town maybe they've never been to, or a team they've never played, or maybe they've heard of but never seen them play. And it's like, that in and of itself, yeah, they play hard and work hard, but it's like still so cool for them just to go to this different place or see this other team. And it's like, all right, that didn't feel like much of an investment for me, but sure, yeah, it meant something to you, right?
No, and at the 1A level too, like, yeah, this is sure. Something that's huge is most of my girls, because they're so small, they're all three sport athletes for the most part, because at such a small school, there's increased participation. And so as far as off season goes, there's not really much I can do in the fall and the spring, because all my girls are in other sports. And so summer is where I need to maximize the most. That is really my only true off season with them. And so that's really where I put a lot of time in and working on those skills, because once I get them, I don't have that much time with them. So I'm teaching them, you know, all the things we talked about with X's and O's and culture. So during the summer is a lot of the skill work, a lot of working on those fundamentals and just going, you know, on trips and doing fun things. But I think that that's been something that's been really beneficial for the girls. And, you know, a lot of them have come to do it. And so that makes me really happy.
And that's the another piece of being at a 1A school or really small school, like you mentioned, is, you know, a lot of these girls or guys, even if it's at a small school, they'll be playing with each other still. Even if it's not basketball, they'll be playing in the spring together. They'll be playing in the fall together. And there's like a lot of unique opportunities for those bonds to really stick and really form, that, you know, by the time some of them get to their senior year with you, they may have had teammates that they've had, you know, 12 seasons almost with, or 10 seasons together, playing all these different sports. And that can create a lot of unique advantages where, like, at a certain point, they just like kind of know each other like the back of their hand, because they've been teammates with each other for so many sports and for so many years.
Exactly. And I think that it's just such a good way to bring the team together, is by doing things over the summer. It's so fun for them. And, you know, during the year, obviously, and during the summer, we want to win every game we play, obviously. But during the summer is more where we can, you know, play against like really big schools that we might never play, and play against hard competition. And it's okay if we lose, because we're growing. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not the type of coach who's always going to have us play against easy teams, because then how are we going to grow? And this year, we probably only won maybe like two games over summer, because I put my girls against really hard teams, even though it might be frustrating for them. Now, this is another way that we can grow as a team. You know, these are really good teams. Yes, it's frustrating, but how are we growing in our program? Like, how is this going to help us move forward? And how are we taking these challenges moving forward together? So I think that was something that the girls did a really great job of.
For sure. Now, I would be very bad at asking questions to have a whole topic about team unity and building and team together and creating a team together if I didn't ask about having to navigate through everything that we've navigated for these past 18 months, because I feel like for a lot of coaches, it's kind of the ultimate test there of unity and togetherness and sticking together through everything. So in a very general sense, what has that been like over the past 18 months, and what challenges or situations or just opportunities that bring, and how are you able to kind of keep them all together and have the players still stick together as one unit.
Yeah, and I think that this past year was it was definitely crazy. But I, you know, was very lucky to be at a school that, you know, I feel like we were given a lot of opportunities that maybe other schools weren't, because we are a private school, because we are a small school. We were in person all year last year. Our administration was really pushing us to be able to have a normal year as possible. And so anytime we were given the green light to do anything, we could do it, whether that was only practice, whether that was non-contact practices, whether that was having a game, maybe not having a game, maybe having a season, then it being canceled. Like, it was just such a crazy year, but I think we were so blessed that we had opportunities that maybe some other big schools didn't, and we probably played more games than other schools did. But I think the thing that came out of it was, it was a really, really good teaching point for these girls about, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So let's just, you know, show up today, stay positive, do what we can do, and then see what comes of it. And so the girls did a really great job. I mean, talk about adapting. These girls were adapting to whatever I threw at them. They really came together. And although it was frustrating, I really, you know, was so impressed of how the girls, you know, were able to have a positive attitude throughout it all. And if anything, this was really a great lesson for them to be grateful. These girls were so happy and so excited when they actually got to play basketball. And I think now that whole situation happened, I think that they are very grateful to be able to even play. And I think that even though it was a really hard season last season, a lot of good came out of it, and just the learning experiences that the girls were able to get out of it. Because like I touched on before, at the end of the day, you know, it is bigger than basketball. So it was really teaching them about these life skills of, we can't control these things, so let's control what we can control. We can control our attitude. We can control how do we work. And so we're going to control those things. And I think that even though it was hard, that was something that I think really helped the team grow and even come together more so.
Well, that's something that any coach could really use, I feel like, this year, as just a way to kind of keep spirits up and to keep everybody like kind of going and build like team morale, is the fact that, you know, as a coach, you could just be like, hey, like, we're playing basketball again, like, we're doing all these things almost somewhat back to normal that we weren't able to do before. And like, as you mentioned, just like how fortunate, you know, we are as coaches to be able to coach, and players are to play, and they've all had experience of the game kind of being taken from them. And now you can, at worst, no matter how bad things are, you can still be like, hey guys, like, we're still playing this year. Like, and that in and of itself is like a victory that can be celebrated. Whereas like before, we maybe never would have thought about it that way, because, you know, every season we just had basketball and nothing ever changed with that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome, coach. To wrap up, and this is great, there's a couple of questions that I ask every guest. And this first one here, you've given me so many answers to this, so many great ones throughout the interview. So I'm sorry if you've shared them all already, but thinking back about your coaching career, what is a moment from that career that you think that others listening would be able to learn from?
I think just something that I've really learned in my own coaching career is how much positivity and instilling confidence my players can go. Obviously, you know, as coaches, we should give tough love when they need it. And I've definitely yelled at my girls when they've needed it. But at the same time, I think the amount of positivity and confidence I instill in my players helps them have confidence in themselves and really be positive with each other. And I think that that really goes a long way. And throughout my years, I've really seen how that has really helped my teams and transformed them to be able to show that I believe in them and, you know, getting out there, being positive, showing up every single day to work excited. Like, if I come to practice and I'm not positive and excited, I can't expect them to be. The girls can feel and know how much I love being there and how much I care. And so that really is something that can make or break it as a coach. And so I think when it comes to coaching, don't fake it, you know. I think you got to show up excited, practice what you preach, and just being positive and confident, I think, is the biggest two things of my coaching philosophy that I feel like other people can learn from.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's something great. And sometimes in the middle of the season, I know that it's not always the easiest to maintain that, but being able to remember that and keeping that positivity, I think, will go a long way and keep you from pulling all your hair out, at least. So 100%. Exactly. Also, before I hit that last part, I did want you to give a little plug to working at a small school. I feel like, and I felt this way too sometimes, that being, you know, said somebody grew up at a really big high school in a big high school district and been around it, had a lot of like, I don't know if I'd ever even want to go to a small school, but clearly you really enjoy it. So I wanted you to give, before I hit the final part, just a little plug about, you know, working at a small school and why you think coaches or people who are aspiring to be coaches or even teachers should keep their eyes open to it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's kind of by chance that this Willis Academy position flew into my lap, but I'm so happy that it did, because working at this 1A school, it's just, there is so, it's such a different type of culture, and you're really getting, you know, all different types of kids, and these kids just truly want to be there, and they love basketball, and they just want to show up. They're really smart kids, and they're just really, really good kids. And so I think that's just the best thing ever. And I remember, like, one of my first few weeks coaching my first year, when after practice, the girls literally thanked me for having practice. And I was almost in shock that they thanked me. It was like, these are just such good kids. And with good kids, there's good attitude, good families. Like, it's just such a program that I'm able to work with a lot more. I, any day of the week, would rather have kids that have great attitude over kids with a lot of talent. Because you can teach talent, but you can't really teach kids to have a good attitude and good work ethic. I mean, you can, but only to so much of a degree. So I think working at this 1A school is just a lot of fun. It's a great place for a coach to grow. And it's just really exciting to be able to take a program and grow with it. And so I think that that's been really helpful for me.
I'm just imagining your reaction as one of your players thanked you for practice at the end. Be like, what? What happened here? That's funny. That's so good. I'm going to have to tease my girls and ask them if they ever thanked me at the end of a practice. Or maybe that's funny.
That's funny.
To wrap up, Coach, I give every guest what I call a 60-second soapbox. Feel free to go longer. I never time anyone. Where you can get out your final message, a final thought, a closing idea, just something that you want to leave the listeners with. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor, and I'm going to let you take it from here.
Thanks. So I think one of the things that I want to talk about is how the importance of hiring good assistant coaches. I think when you're trying to make a great culture, having a great staff is absolutely key, since it's a top-down mentality. And something that I've seen that has worked really well for me is hiring people that I trust. So a lot of times, people that I know. The last 2 years, I've been coaching with my assistant coaches, Morgan Janke and Kristen Georgopoulos, and they are both girls that I met through playing in a basketball league myself. I'm really good friends with them. Both of them had never coached at the high school level before, but I think the trust goes a long way. Just as I've talked about before, you can teach, you know, someone the aspects of coaching at the high school level, but the fact that I can trust them that they're going to show up to practice, that they're going to give it their all, that they have a great work ethic, you know, those are really great role models for these girls. And on top of that, both of them played in college. They're young females that are energetic, and those are people they can look up to. And that has been a really big turning point in my coaching career, is seeing the positive aspect of having really good assistant coaches. And so for me now, like I said, I would rather take people I know and trust over maybe someone with years and years of experience, just because that has been so great for my program. And I know I can count on them, and that goes a long way.
Oh man, great coaches and a great coaching staff. You have great assistant coaches. I kind of joke, like, you want to hold on to them as long as you can, but then it's like, oh, yep. But if they want to be head coaches, like, oh, I guess got to let them go too. But no, I'm 100% with you. Like, if you can get a great assistant coaches who are there for the right reasons, which you definitely sound like you have, like, that's like the dream right there, is you have
exactly
that for sure. No, that's fantastic. Awesome. Coach Marver, I want to thank you for spending some time talking about getting your team to play together as a unit, but also just kind of general team culture and kind of the story of Willows Academy. It sounds like a really fun story of the turnaround and navigating all the things that were thrown your way also these past 18 months. So thanks again for sharing your story and your insight, and best of luck. And hopefully it's a safe and normal season this year. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you so much, Coach.
And thank you so much for listening. This was another edition of the Basketball Teacher Podcast, and we will see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Basketball Teacher Podcast. Make sure to connect with us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, or reach us directly through email at basketballteacherpodcast@gmail.com. Take care, be safe, and we'll see you next time.